Hey, welcome to Cascades Church. My name is Alex. I'm the pastor of Cascades, and our mission here is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus and his way. Our vision is to see our city renewed. You see, we believe that when people embrace Jesus and his way, they live it out, that we actually begin to see renewal in individuals, in communities, churches, and even in our city. And that is our prayer. And you know, as I've listened to John and Jerry share their stories of how the Lord led them to be part of planting Cascades, I was just so encouraged. And I just want to say thank you to both of you. Thank you for wholeheartedly following the Lord, trusting him. Both of them talked about how they were led by the Lord to do this, them and even their families. And the beautiful thing is that God birthed this church, and then he sustained it. That as the McClellans, as the Ballards, as the DeRosio families, and these other families that were part of this came, the Lord brought children to this church, and then their families. And a couple of the kids that were part of that first kind of crop was Ian McDougall and Ron Edgecombe. And what I love about that is that those two became the leaders of Cascades, the first full-time workers, what today we'd call it pastors. They were actually brought in here at Cascades, introduced to the Lord, trained up, mentored, and then they were part of actually leading and ministering to people here in this area. And so I love seeing how the Lord birthed Cascades, how the Lord sustained Cascades. And you know, even my own family, we immigrated to Canada in 89, and Cascades was the first church that my family and I came to. And just a couple years ago, God brought me back here to be part of what he wants to do in this church and in our city. And so I just give thanks for how the Lord has weaved that story and sustained Cascades. And you know what? We're in a really interesting season for two reasons. One is we've been in a season of transition at Cascades, but even on top of that, we're living through a global pandemic. And so initially I was like, how am I supposed to talk about the future here? Talk about our future when we're living through a pandemic. We don't know when it'll end. We don't know how things will turn out. But you know what? As I've reflected on what the Lord has done in our church since the beginning, and as I looked in the scriptures, I'm convinced of this. It's that the future belongs to those who wholeheartedly follow the Lord. The future belongs to those who wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Let me just show you a passage out of Numbers chapter 13. If you don't know your Bibles super well, that's going to be in the Old Testament, after Exodus, after Leviticus, right? Let me read to you the very first few verses of Numbers chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All of the men who were heads of the people of Israel. Now, there's a list. There's 12 different guys that are sent out. And their task was this. They were to go into this land that God was going to give them, to the land of Canaan. And they were to spy it out. Moses told them, hey, check out the land and see what it's like, if it's good or bad land, if it's heavily fortified or if people are living in tents. See if the people are strong or if they're weak. And so they go out, these 12 guys, they go out for 40 days, spying out the land, seeing who lives or who is there and all of that. And after those 40 days, they return. And when they return, something really, really interesting happens. See, 12 of them went and they all saw the same thing. They saw who lived there, they saw what the land was like, that generally it was actually really good land, flowing with milk and honey, all of that stuff. However, only two of them saw one thing, they saw it as a good thing, and the other 10 didn't see that. And so what happens is, those two were Caleb and Joshua, and Caleb says, this is a great land, and we need to go and take it. This is what God's given us, which is exactly what God had told Moses that he was going to do. Caleb's like, we need to actually go and take possession. But the other 10 said, yeah, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but it's actually not good. They've got people there that are heavily fortified. They're strong. The land is good. But man, the people there, they're like giants. We shouldn't go. This isn't good. This is bad. We're going to be defeated even. They were afraid. And what those 10 went and did is they actually spread a bad report amongst the people of Israel, God's people in this moment. And it led to a rebellion where all of the Israelites at that moment started to cry out, saying, why did God bring us here? Why did Moses bring us here? We were better off in Egypt. We were better off dying in the wilderness than out here before that, those people in the land. They were terrified. And they rebelled and they said, hey, we need a new leader, anybody. Anybody but Moses could be our leader. And they got to lead us back to Egypt. Then Caleb and Joshua start to say, hey guys, we can't do this. What are you doing here? This is the land God's going to give us. It's a good land. Don't be afraid. And what happens is that they actually try to stone those two. And it takes God's intervention to stop them. And now the whole outcome of this is that God has consequences for the 10 and for the people who rebelled against God. And it was that they would wander in the desert, not for 40 days, but for 40 years. And they would not get to enter into the land that God wanted to bring them into. They wouldn't get to experience the next phase of what God's redemption plan was for all of humanity. Instead, they would spend their last days in the wilderness. That entire generation, God said, would stay in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. Because this is what it says in Numbers verse 14. God says this. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants will possess it. And Joshua was also part of that. Joshua and Caleb were the two that had a different spirit. And they wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Hey, you know what? Well, I was thinking about our story of Cascades, and I see the same thing. And I think this is why the Lord has sustained and led Cascade up until now. Jerry and John, they both talked about how they felt this leading of the Lord, and they didn't resist it. They followed. And into the 60s, when our church had the opportunity to buy land on Boundary and 22nd, there was three plots of land available for $6,200 each. And we didn't have the money for it as a church. But our people, our leadership felt like we need to buy that land. And so they bought it in the 60s, borrowing money from MSC to be able to actually purchase it. And it wasn't until the mid 70s and 74 that the building I'm standing in right now was built. And man, again, it was people wholeheartedly following the Lord. And now here we are, 2020, 65 years of the Lord's faithfulness to us. And I can't help but think it's because the Lord delighted in those who would seek him. And wholeheartedly, they were all in, follow him. And so, you know, as I think about our future, we're in a really interesting season of transition, like I said. And I've been thinking, okay, so how does that work? Where we have an older generation that has been faithful, in many ways kind of like Moses. They were part of the beginning of this, or early on, and they were leading it and pouring into it. But then there's also another generation, a younger generation like Joshua. And how do we work this out? Well, in Exodus 17, we see this picture. In Exodus 17, Moses tells Joshua to go and fight against the Amalekites who were coming against them. And Moses says something really interesting. Moses tells Joshua that he needs to go and fight, but Moses will stand with the staff of the Lord with his hands raised. And that's his task. Basically, there's this picture. I'm going to pray. Joshua, you're going to fight. And there was an amazing thing that happens, if you read it, in the second half of Exodus 17, where every time Moses' hands are dropping down, the Israelites and Joshua are being defeated by the Amalekites. But when Moses has his hands raised up, we see that the Israelites and Joshua actually experience victory. And that's what happens, they experience victory. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, I believe that cascades. We are in a moment where every single one of us must wholeheartedly follow him. And whether you are part of a Moses generation, or seniors, or our seniors who have poured in so much, or you are part of this Joshua generation who's younger and kind of like up and coming, you each have a call and a responsibility. And allow me to speak to our seniors, to our Moses generation who has led faithfully in kindness, in humility. You have sacrificed. There's just a season for you to pray. This is a season like Moses. Moses, he was interceding, praying for Joshua in the battle, that the Lord would be victorious and honored, that he would get the glory. And here, every time his hands would drop and get tired, Joshua would actually experience it. And so for you, the call is to pray and to release. The question that some of you have thought about is, what will our legacy be? What legacy will we leave behind? Allow me to just paint this picture for you of this legacy of you releasing young people to fulfill the destiny that the Lord has for them. And the way that you will do that is by praying and interceding for them, for the Lord to supply a new generation, for the Lord to train them up, for the Lord to do what only he can do here. But the second half is release. And the way you release is twofold. You release your resources and you release your preferences. You see, there's something fascinating here. We need you to pray. But if you don't release your preferences, then when the Lord begins to answer your prayer and you see people who look different or dress different or think differently and approach ministry differently than you, or songs even differently than you, then when the Lord answers your prayer, you're going to grumble. You need to release your preferences. But hey, you know what? What I've noticed is some are, they've released. Like, I'm letting it go. I feel good. But you're not praying. And so what happens when you release and you don't pray is you're actually not engaging in the mission. We need your prayers. Look at what happened when Moses' hands would drop down. Joshua would experience defeat. They were actually losing that moment. We need your prayers. We need you to release your preferences, and we need you to be praying. But we also need you to release your resources. See, the Lord wants you to be wholeheartedly following him. And in this season, as you pray, the call for you is to release your blessing. That's a great resource. We need you to bless the Joshua generation. We need you to surrender your finances, your wisdom, because you have it. The Joshua generation doesn't have it yet. We haven't lived through that, so we need yours. And you have space in your home, some of you. So as people come into our church and they're looking to be able to live in our city, would you open up your home if you have home? Or would you open up your home space to be able to like host people, you know, when it's all COVID friendly and everything? You know what I mean? There's this call for our Moses generation to pray and to release. But you know what? Joshua's in our church, you also have a call. And it's for you to enter into the battle, for you to fight. I believe the New Testament picture of this is when Peter finally realizes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And he says, Jesus, who do you say that I am? And Joshua, that is what you must reckon with. Who do you actually say Jesus is? Not just with your words, but with your life. Because this is what Jesus says upon Peter's confession, that upon this rock I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against it. The picture you see there is not of the church on defense. It's actually hell on defense. Their gates will not be able to withstand it. And so what Jesus wants to do is he wants people who are wholeheartedly following him, because those are the ones he can use now and in the future. Those are the ones he's going to use to bring about renewal, because he's going to renew them first. And so the call for you is not to sit on the sidelines, to sit comfortably, but to recognize we are in a battle and you are called to enter into it. And you must sacrifice your resources too, because you have time, you have energy, you have creativity, you have a presence, you're able to do these things. And so the call for you is to enter in. Stop sitting on the sidelines. The Lord has something for you. He wants to actually use you. here in Cascades and in our city. And he's calling you, and will you follow? Will you be like Caleb and Joshua, who see that there is a great battle before them, but they know that the Lord is with them, and so they're willing to go ahead in faith, trusting him. The second part of that for us, Joshua, is you must understand that the fruit that we are experiencing today and will experience in the future is actually because the prayers of the Moses generation are landing today. What we are experiencing as people prayed for new people, for renewal, for salvations, for people to come to the Lord, as we see these things, as God provides, we need to understand that it's because the prayers of a previous generation have landed. It's not just their own doing. It never was. Do you see why we need the both of us, these both of these groups? We need it. A church without prayer is in trouble, because apart from him, we can do nothing good. Every movement of renewal that you look back on in history actually had prayer as one of the central things. The Welsh renewal that you can see in the Hebrides, what happened in that place is you see people praying. And one of them is attributed to these two elderly sisters who were disabled, and they prayed, and the Lord sparked this whole movement of renewal. We need to be a people and a church who prays. We also need to be a church who's engaged in the battle. And the call is for all of us to be wholeheartedly committed to the Lord, wholeheartedly following him. Some of you are watching this today, and you're maybe not part of our community, but you once were. Allow me to just say, I'm glad you're here. And I invite you to join us. If you're in one of those camps, join us. Be part of what Jesus wants to do here at Cascades. It's not just for us closed group. Jesus is willing to use anyone who will wholeheartedly follow him. And so you can be part of it too. Our dream is to see our city renewed. But Jesus is calling on us to trust him. And you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, we're filming this right now, May of 2020. But a year from now, can you imagine what will happen if we actually faithfully follow the Lord in this year? How returning to one another, say in a year or whenever that happens, how we'll come back? Because I believe if we are faithful to what the Lord calls us to, we won't come back just like dragging our feet, like it was just this, you know, like, oh man, I barely made it. I'm so glad. We're going to come back stronger than we were when we left off. And that's something that only the Lord can do himself. Even as all these other things seem like there's so much turmoil and uncertainty, what the Lord wants is, hey, I want my people to be rooted in me, to trust in me, even as things don't seem to totally make sense, because I am their treasure. And the gift that I want to give you as you enter into the next phase is more of me, not less. So the question for you, for any of you watching, is will you follow him wholeheartedly? For some of you, that means not only do you need a release, you need to begin praying. For others of you, it means you need to release as you've been praying. For others of you, you need to get off the sidelines and enter into the battle. For some of you, it actually just means coming to Jesus because you haven't been near him very long, or maybe it's been a long time since you were following him, and he's saying, hey, today you can turn, come back. And yet for, I believe, a number of you watching right now, I think that it's actually Jesus saying, hey, I know you know me, you know the Bible, you studied it, you grew up with it, but you haven't been part of my people. That's what I have. That's what I want for you. I want you to actually reintegrate, to be part of my people. You were never meant to follow me alone. Even in the picture that we read of God's people, this was something that God wanted for all of his people. It wasn't just for Caleb and Joshua. So the challenge for those of you who have been part of a Christian community at one point and actually walked away is for you to return, to not be like the 10 who said, no, I ain't going there, but to be of good courage and enter in, re-come back. And so, hey, one of the ways you can do that is if you haven't been part of a church and you're looking for one, is I invite you come to Cascades. You can do that while we do this online. You can gather when we regather in person, which hasn't happened yet. You can join us there too. But you were never meant to do this life that God has for you in Jesus apart from his people, apart from a community of believers who are committed to following Jesus and embracing his way. And pray, God, I give you thanks because I believe that you are at work in our church and you are the one who birthed this, you are the one who sustained it, and Lord, you are the one who's going to lead us into the future. And our desire is that we would wholeheartedly follow you and see you do wonderful things for your glory and our great joy. And we pray for those who have been far from you, that today would be a day of turning and experiencing a time of refreshing and renewing through your Holy Spirit. And for those, Lord, who have been on the sidelines, would you, by your Spirit, lead them back to jump into this battle you have. Give them courage and power that comes from your Spirit. And we pray, God, for our Moses generation. We honor them today. We thank you for them, God, for their faithfulness, Lord. Now, would you help us to model their faithfulness as well, to live it out for the future generation that will come before us. We pray, God, all these things in your holy, holy name. Amen.